Today, we'll learn how to minister to couples who've experienced infertility or miscarriage. We'll talk with co-hosts of Hannah's Heart, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
We tell people to, you know, walk through open-handed because we need to just be open to what the Lord has for us.
A lot of times with miscarriage, it's never even known that you were pregnant. So it's a secret hurt and it's a secret pain that needs to be dealt with biblically.
Then Pastor Joseph Parker shows us 5 specific ways to intercede for these young couples and at the same time develop our own prayer lives.
We're wise to pray for our prayer lives, you know, because the fact is there's so much God accomplishes through we as believers when we really take prayer seriously.
It's the weekend of January 4th and 5th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, welcome to The Stand Radio for this first broadcast of 2025. This is a very unique month for The Stand magazine. We've put together a special edition that's entirely dedicated to the sanctity of human life because January is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And we realize that's a very broad topic, and we've tried to address that in several ways, from population decline to in vitro fertilization, and from the joys of adoption to the grief of miscarriage. And 2 people who helped in the formation of this edition of the magazine are here with me today, Kendra White and Ann Cockrell. Now, you probably know them as co-hosts of the Hannah's Heart radio program that's heard Saturdays here on American Family Radio, and they're here with me. Hi, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We'll get into this month's magazine in just a few moments. But first, tell us about Hannah's Heart. And Ann, I'll go to you first, and the way that you became involved in this radio program.
It started a few years ago now. When I started at AFA, I actually did nothing in radio, never pictured myself working in radio at all. I got to talk on the phone to a lot of our donors every day. But during that time, that's when my husband and I were walking through miscarriage and infertility, and had 3 different miscarriages during those years. And so while I was here, I think I went to Wesley first and just kind of sort of mentioned it. And then Walker and Lexi were over at the house one night, and I was like, hey, we might could do this. I think AFA, could use a ministry like this, because there were so many people not talking about infertility, miscarriage, those kind of things. And it's definitely broadened, I feel like, to where more people are talking about it today. But at the time, when you're walking through it, I felt completely alone. Mm-hmm. Okay. That I didn't know anyone else, you know, having multiple miscarriages and not being able to get pregnant. And so Wesley ended up coming to me after I had talked to him about it, and he was like, all right, well, what are you wanting to do with this? And I was like, oh, no, not me. I just was picturing like AFA, I don't know, someone who's already on the radio. And he was like, no. If this is going to happen, you're going to need to be the one to go with this. And so I was like, I don't know what that's even supposed to mean, you know. So anyway, but I got introduced to Kendra by another staff and employee here at AFA, and I did not know. I think we had like crossed paths a few times, but I did not know Kendra personally at all. And so then we started kind of what we met for coffee, of course. And
it was the most refreshing time ever, because for me, I was new to the world of infertility. You'd been in it for a while longer than me, and I just remember that conversation at the coffee shop, feeling like I was this dry, barren desert, and that you just dumped water, that there was just a stream of water. And that's one thing about like the ministry of Hannah's Heart that I think is different than maybe other support groups for couples that struggle with infertility or miscarriage. It's not just a mope fest. Like, there are sad things, and it is so nice to relate to somebody who understands it. But for me, it was talking to somebody who Christ was their rock and was their center and focus, and was able to help give me perspective in the midst of my grief and hurt.
So you were going through that as well.
I was, I didn't know anybody else that was. Of course, after we start the podcast and we start talking on the radio, everybody and their brother is dealing with it, and you don't realize.
Yes.
You know, you feel so alone, and that's one of the things we talk about a lot on the show, is how isolating this is. When we started the show, it was 1 in 8 couples that struggle with infertility mm-hmm. and 1 in 4 pregnancies that ended in miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Since then, it has grown. I think it's closer to 1 in 6 couples. Yep. And what is it for miscarriage? Closer to 1 in 3
yeah.
miscarriages. So, I mean, it was a big problem just 3 years ago.
Outstanding numbers.
And
ridiculous.
It just keeps becoming worse and worse.
These are highly personal issues.
Yeah.
When we are in social settings, and I'm thinking of an average church gathering, mm-hmm. A potluck dinner or a worship service or a Sunday school class, we can assume that there are people in our mm-hmm. presence mm-hmm. who are dealing with this, who are dealing with
For
miscarriages.
Sure.
Help us understand, Anne, some things that are helpful to say if we know that someone's going through this, and maybe some things that are not so helpful.
Oh, man. For one thing, I had multiple people, as you know, Will and I were the many years that passed by that we were married, but we weren't having children. And people knew that I went to church with or grew up with, knew how much I loved babies. And so a lady one time, she meant nothing by it, but she saw me at the grocery store and she said, "I sure thought you and Will would have had a baby by now." And she didn't know I'd had a miscarriage just a few weeks before that. Mm. I left my buggy in the grocery store and got to my car as quick as I could to cry, because she didn't realize just how much that hurt. And so those comments like that, she did not mean ill to me at all.
Sure. Right.
But that comment to just, I don't know, if we could be more aware of like, okay, they have been married for a while. It does seem like they might have wanted kids by now.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right. I mean, that mm-hmm. might not be true for all couples, but especially down here in the South, basically what we talk about, like a 2-year window,
right.
like most couples are like, we'll be married for a year or two, then we'll start having babies, you know?
Yeah.
And so basically, if they've gotten to that point, you know, maybe just don't ask, you know, maybe. Or if you're close enough, say, like, how can I be praying for you right now? Mm-hmm. The Lord laid you on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be praying? And if they feel comfortable enough with you, they'll say, you know what, to be honest, we've just walked through a miscarriage. To be honest, you know, we're having some trouble getting pregnant, you know? And they might not. They might choose to say, well, thank you for asking me that. You know, it kind of takes you by surprise sometimes. But, and you know what, if you do know they have recently walked through a miscarriage or they have been trying for a baby, don't offer unsolicited advice, especially if you yourself have not walked through it. You know, the whole, well, have you ever thought about adopting? Have you ever thought about foster care? I can promise you that they have, and they are considering it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is just to the point that you have to allow the Lord. We tell people to, you know, walk through open-handed, because we need to just be open to what the Lord has for us as you're walking through infertility, to be open to say, God, I don't know why you have me here, but you have me here.
That's good.
And so what that needs to look like per couple, you know, differs.
A couple quick pointers. Don't start any sentence with "at least."
Yeah.
You know,
if
they've lost a baby, don't say, "Oh, well, at least you only were pregnant for 3 weeks."
Yes,
you know,
that's so hurtful.
Well, at least you can try again. At least now you know you can become. All of those statements, you're trying to help us focus on the positives, but it minimalizes the pain that we are experiencing.
Yeah.
And everybody's grief, no matter how many days you've carried a child, if you've lost a child, it's torture and it's so painful. You know, scripture says that we are supposed to, as the body of Christ, if one part suffers, every part suffers
That's
with
right.
it. If one part rejoices, every part rejoices with us. So, we are inviting you to grieve with us, and that's a very vulnerable thing to do.
Okay.
So, but that's something that as a church, we're called to grieve with those who are grieving. So, you know, I think that question that you said of how can I pray for you is huge.
That's a good one.
That's key.
Kendra, in terms of miscarriages, is this something that women are wanting to talk about with other women necessarily?
You know, after we launched the show, I was inundated in my Facebook with personal people that knew me, that had heard the show, that just had to talk. It was like a gut spill moment.
So they're waiting.
They're waiting because again, you go back to that point of they feel isolated. They didn't realize they're the only one, or they're just waiting for someone to acknowledge. You know, with miscarriage, if you lose a child who, you know, you've had for 10 or 15 years, there's a funeral and there's a ceremony and, incredibly painful. It's different, but there are things to mark that. A lot of times with miscarriage, it's never even known that you were pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's a secret hurt and it's a secret pain that needs to be dealt with biblically.
Yeah.
God has provided both of you with wonderful husbands who have gone with you through all of this journey. There are men who are listening and some who realize that their wife has gone through a miscarriage. There's been a loss there. Maybe they're sensitive to that. Maybe they're not. And what would be a good thing for men to remember as they're ministering to their wives and helping them through this time?
One thing, if there's any way a man could remember, I know our bodies are so biologically different, which is a wonderful thing, and that's how the Lord created us. But women, as we're losing these babies, losing is a nice word for it, our bodies are doing that. We are the ones that are having to see things and feel things and hurt in ways that a man could never imagine, right, you know, walking through. And so, you know, if there's any way, a man, before you tell your wife, like, hey, it's been long enough, you need to, you know, get over this. Hey, you need to be back at church. You need to, you know, whatever, to just remember your body didn't go through all the things that her body did. You know, she knew this baby inwardly, you know, that the scripture talks about, like, you knew my inmost being, you know, and that's, that inmost being was in your wife's body. And so the Lord, you know, blesses women that we do have the pleasure of growing life, but that is such a sad part of when that life is lost, of feeling that every single bit of it. And so a man just isn't able to relate in that aspect. But to be there for your wife, and to, even if you just acknowledge and just give her a big hug and just say, like, I can't even imagine what this is like for you. I can just acknowledge that, like, there's no way for me to know what this is like for you, but I'm loving you. I miss that baby too. Let your wife know that that baby meant something to you too. You know, we can assume that each other knew that, but say it, you know, say that that little baby meant something to you, because it sure did to your wife.
Yeah. One thing that we talk about a lot on the show is typically, women have a stronger desire to have children than men do. And I think that's partly because we are hardwired in our bodies to have children. And we talk about this on the show, that sometimes that can cause a lot of miscommunication in the marriage. Women can feel very isolated. Sometimes they, if there's fertility help that you're seeking in having children, you become the go-getter and the doer and the planner and, you know, all of making all of the appointments. And so one thing we encourage husbands to do is, you don't even have to make all the appointments, but just taking an interest in that we have this makes us feel like this is our desire, this to have a baby, not just mine. But we also encourage wives to know that just because your husband, it's not what he thinks about every minute, the Lord did make him different for a reason. And that helps to balance out that, you know, can you imagine if there were two people in the relationship that all they thought about was, I have to have a baby, you would never have groceries, you would never get things done. And so the Lord, you know, has given us a lot of just opportunities to help couples have conversations, to realize, hey, this hurts me. Hey, this is a way that you can serve me. This is a way I can serve you while we're walking through this this challenge.
So transparency and open communication is vital in all of this.
One thing I know that my husband and lots of other husbands have talked about is these sweet husbands that we're talking about want to be fixers and want to fix everything. This is something they cannot fix. And so
get paralyzed and just want to do nothing sometimes.
And that's okay to realize, like, I can't fix this for you. I can't fix this for me. But yeah, like, let's grow in this together. Will and I started making doctor's appointments day dates, you know, like after the doctor's appointment, we went on a walk and had a coffee or, you know, things like that. And so it is a miserable feeling, but to encourage anyone to not let it overtake the love that you have for each other, and just to remember that that's why you more than likely want a baby, is to see, you know, your husband smile on a baby that you're holding, you know, and eye color and things like that, to not let it, you know, steal the joy and fun out of why you want a baby in the first place.
Very good. Very good advice. Let's talk about the magazine a little bit, because this issue is coming out this month. It's a special Hannah's Heart edition. Kendra, what do you hope to do with this edition of the magazine?
The pro-life movement has shifted a lot. It used to be just about, oh, you know, there's back alley abortions and things, but now there's so many other issues that as Christians we need to be talking about, mm-hmm. Specifically in the world of in vitro fertilization and fertility treatments. As science has, you know, evolved, we've had so many questions from our listeners about, is this ethical to do A, B, C, D? You know, and also we have, you know, so many other issues of people desiring not even to have families. Yeah. So I think this issue tackles a lot of topics that we've had questions about. And so we plan to take this issue to conferences with us. We have people that call in and say, okay, we just, my daughter-in-law is struggling with infertility. I need a resource to help her, you know, or even we, this, it doesn't talk just about those issues, but also, you know, if you've struggled with a miscarriage or if your marriage is struggling, we yes. address all of this. And so this is a helpful resource for you to pass on to people that are struggling or to even equip yourself. Like it might not be you that's struggling, but, you know, there are a lot of bills coming up in our legislation that you need to understand the science of what we're talking about to know how to carry your pro-life convictions all the way out. And it's not enough to just say, oh, well, it doesn't affect me anymore.
Well, very good. Ladies, thank you so much for your time and sharing your story and your heart for women and men who are out there dealing with this. And again, I'm so grateful that you're on the air talking about it. The show is Hannah's Heart. Where can people find out more about the program Hannah's Heart, Kendra?
Well, we'd love to connect with you. You can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. You can listen on Saturdays at 5 p.m. on AFR. We also have a podcast, so you can go to the podcast on afr.net. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram.
And I do encourage you to be involved in a support group if you have one. We have started a local support group where just a small group of ladies gets together here in town. And so if you would like to know more about that, you can email us, or like we were saying, we're kind of everywhere. If you would like to find out more about that information,
you can email them at hannahsheart@afa.net. Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joseph Parker is the host of The Hour of Intercession that's heard daily on American Family Radio, and he's the Director of Outreach and Intercession here at AFA. And I've asked him to join me to offer some ways to pray for young couples struggling with infertility. Joseph, welcome back to the Stan Radio. It's good to have you once again.
Good to be here with you, Jeff.
You are a man that is passionate and dedicated to prayer and encouraging prayer and intercession. A lot of young couples experiencing infertility. How can we pray specifically for them? What is one way? And we'll go through the list. I think there are five that we have. Mm-hmm. What is the first way that we can pray for young couples?
Well, you know, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells us, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I think a starting place certainly is to, it's fine to pray and ask for the desires of your heart. Because the reality is we see one of the wonderful examples of that in Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was a young wife who longed to be a mother of a little boy. And she very specifically, it doesn't say she just wanted a baby, she specifically wanted a boy. Well, as it turns out, one of the truths is that very often God's will, it comes about as he'll place a desire on the heart of one of his children. And it's birthed, literally birthed, through their prayer life. And, of course, in that sense, you might say a double way with Hannah. She desired to have a son, and she prayed and asked God for a son, and God answered her prayer. But, Jeff, you know, one of the beautiful sides to that is that, in a sense, bigger than her desire was the desire of God's heart. God desired a man of God that was a truthful prophet. And God got his desire, and Hannah got hers, as Hannah received that desire from God and prayed it, birthed it through her prayer life, literally in that sense. Yeah. So it's wise for us when we have a desire in your heart, just ask God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. So a very important starting place for this is just simply to ask. Now, sometimes a couple may say, well, we've tried to have a baby for years. Well, it's not uncommon actually to find couples who say, we've been trying, but they haven't asked God.
Wow, that's good.
And sometimes when they ask, God will say yes, and it'll bring it about. So the starting place is just ask for the desire of your heart.
That's good. And to be persistent in that knocking on the Lord's door. Okay, what's the second way that we can pray for young couples like this?
Well, also, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're wise to pray for God's will, whatever it might be, because sometimes our will and God's will don't necessarily line up. The reality is there are times in which sometimes what we have on our heart is not necessarily what God had in mind for us in a given situation. So there are instances in Scripture where, like, for I just think of persons, Daniel and Jeremiah, they both were specifically, it was not for them to get married. Mm-hmm. Well, one might say, well, I mean, why was that? Well, you know, God in his sovereignty decides what he decides. But it's important to know that the best thing for us is God's will.
Yes.
So marriage, becoming a parent, all those things, again, they may or may not be what God has in mind for us. And, you know, Jeff, to be honest, that's tough to hear. Yeah. And so there are times which sometimes individuals, it may not be from the Lord for them to be a parent, or maybe to be an adoptive parent, or maybe to not have children at all. So mm-hmm. a key is a commitment and a desire to say, Lord, I want what you want.
Yeah, so praying specifically for a baby is good. It's okay.
It's fine.
Number two, praying for God's will to be done. Mm-hmm. What is the third way to pray for a young couple?
Well, I think another wise way to pray is to pray for God to help us to grow up and to learn to listen well, to be good listeners. You know, a huge part of the Christian life, obviously, you know, as God has told us, pray without ceasing. Well, I believe very much so. One of the reasons why that's so critical is because a big part of your prayer life is listening. Mm. You know, the Christian life largely consists of listening to God and doing what he says. And in a sense, you could say every part of our life consists of that. So we listen to God primarily through his word and by his spirit. God will speak to us mm-hmm. as much as we'll listen through his word. There's no such thing as spending too much time in the word. But at the same time, God speaks to all of us every day by his Holy Spirit as well. And if a believer says, well, no, God never speaks to me, well, I don't want to be ugly, but that's not true. God, not only does he speak to believers every day, he speaks to sinners very often as well. Often he's calling them to, obviously, to get saved.
Yeah.
But God sometimes will lay it on the heart of a sinner to do something for the kingdom of God. Now, we may not fully understand that, but there are instances in Scripture where people that didn't know God did something that God directed them to do.
Yeah.
So God definitely speaks to all of us. Now, sometimes we may think, sometimes the voice of God may, to us, we may perceive it as a passing thought in our mind. Mm-hmm. Doesn't by any means mean that every passing thought is God, because clearly they're not. But often what we think is a passing thought is the Spirit of God saying something yes. to us. And the more we read and study the Word of God, the more we hear more clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit in the form of some of the thoughts that run through our heads and impressions, leadings as well. So mm-hmm. learn, and so God will put it on our heart. And I think of, for example, this is true in that, like, there are many a couple who, for example, early in their young life as a couple, they don't have children. And after a while, they may almost sort of give up. And then at a certain point, God may direct them and let them know it's time. And they have a baby. You know, mm-hmm. The scriptural example of Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 is a powerful example of a couple that it seemed like they'd almost given up on having children. Not entirely, but almost. And then late in life, probably they were literally the age of great-grandparents when they become pregnant. Yeah. And, of course, when Gabriel approaches Zechariah, it's, again, sort of what could easily be a comical scene to where Gabriel brings the news to Zechariah that he's going to have a son. And Gabriel seems to be really excited to bring the news, but it looks like Zechariah sort of bursts his bubble. He tells him, I'm kind of old, Gabriel, and my wife's an old woman, too, almost as if I think you're a little bit late. But Gabriel's response is, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I came to bring you this good news, and now I'm about to shut you up. And in essence, he's letting him know, we're not going to let you mess it up with your words of a lack of faith. But the fact is, still, somewhere or another, God's grace and faith are involved because God does approach them. Apparently, they prayed a long time ago, but God did answer their prayer. But in their mind, God's a little bit late, but the fact is actually God is always on time,
yeah,
whether we understand that or not.
It was the perfect time for John the Baptist to come into the world just when Jesus was coming into the world.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Very good. So these are things that we can pray for ourselves as well as young couples struggling with infertility. Okay, that's a three. What's the fourth way we can pray?
Well, another way to pray is we're wise to pray for our prayer lives, you know, because the fact is there's so much God accomplishes through we as believers when we really take prayer seriously. The fact is, so much, kind of going back to Hannah once again, not obviously God literally gave her a son through as that desire was birthed through her prayer life, but there are many other things that God will do through our lives as we pray. God will birth things into the world that are from his heart through the prayer lives of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're wise to pray, and the fact is, one could ask the question, well, does that mean if I pray more, God will do more in me and through me? Yes, exactly. The more we pray, the more God literally can do through us. A couple may or may not have children, but on the other hand, birthing the will of God through their prayer life is important. So even if they don't end up having children at all, still, birthing God's will in the earth is so, so important across the board.
Yeah, that's great. There are obviously two people involved in a family situation that deals with infertility. Praying for the spouse is key. I know that's on your list as well. How do we pray for a spouse?
Well, when you have one spouse or the other, that it's a bigger matter on their mind or their heart, and sometimes the husband and wife both have that desire, but maybe the wife, maybe the husband has a greater desire for it. Well, couples should always pray for one another that the Holy Spirit will help them to receive whatever God has in mind for them. And the fact is, typically, no one can pray for your spouse like the other spouse, you know. And so it's wise for us to pray that they will be at peace with whatever God has in mind. And the fact is, ultimately, God can bring us to a place of contentment in his will. But the reality is, many times we need help from the Holy Spirit. And so as we pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work in a greater way in a situation, in a person's life, in a circumstance. And so we're wise to always pray for our spouses with regards to this issue as well.
Very, very good. Five effective ways to pray for young couples dealing with infertility. And many of these, as we've mentioned, Joseph, we can apply to praying for ourselves. There's a great article that you've written that I would point people to. We'll put a link to that on our podcast page. It's called Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood, by our guest, Joseph Parker. And I think you'll find that a blessing as you read that and share that with others. Joseph, always a pleasure to have you on, and thanks for sharing your pastoral insight with us.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Well, coming up next week, we'll tackle the fears of overpopulation. Dr. E. Calvin Beisner, founder, president, and national spokesman of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, will guide us through the history of the depopulation movement and tell us about the risks of population decline. If you haven't gotten your free 6-month trial subscription to The Stand magazine or have signed up for our daily email, you can do that at afa.net/thestand. Now, to share a podcast of today's program, just look for us at afr.net. Thanks for spending time with us today, and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.